I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
The Terry and Jesse Show. If you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell, and you can be notified when this show comes on. And share this show with others, because we want to give you full contact Catholicism. We're not right versus left. We are right versus wrong. And we want to speak the truth in charity. I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
Jess, I'm on duty, and I'm excited because, you know, we're going to be talking a lot today about the biggest hoax of our lifetime, Jesse. And it's amazing what this is all about, this Wuhan virus, not the COVID-19, because it came from China. Also, we have a clip that a person has for a news report kind of summarizing how their manipulation has been going on with this virus. It's fascinating. Also, we're asking people to sign a petition below, letting people know that from LifeSite News, a petition against mandatory masks. I can't wear a mask because I have asthma. Other people have that same problem. And then, Jess, what I really like at the end is we're going to talk about the Angelus. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And where did that come from? And how beautiful of a devotion it is, and how we need to bring that back. And also, some interesting times when times were under persecution, how Christians, Catholic Christians, were able to still pray the Angelus. You'll find it fascinating. So much more. But Jess, before we get into all of those good things, I'm going to repeat something after you do the gospel. I asked you in a text, Jess, if you could read the first reading from Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 to 23, because that reading sets the stage for our show.
Today. Absolutely. Holy Mass today, first reading. By the way, St. Gregory the Great, pray for us. It's his feast
Amen.
Today. First reading, it applies to what's happening right now.
Amen.
And it's, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 to 23. Brothers and sisters, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world, CDC, World Health Organization, United Nations, we can go on and on.
Yep.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. For it is written, God catches the wise in their own ruses. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you. Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'll tell you what gets me, Terry, through everything. All the adversities of life, all the pressures of life,
vestitudes.
The cultural wars of life.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what gets me through all of this.
Tell me.
One thing is that I believe, because the Catholic Church teaches it, that Jesus Christ is the King and the Lord of the universe.
Amen.
Before this election, he was King and Lord. During this election, he is King and Lord. After this election, he will still be King and Lord.
Amen.
No matter what party takes over office in any country, that doesn't change the metaphysical reality that Jesus Christ is King and Lord. And he's King of my heart. And that makes me feel very secure no matter what happens tomorrow or the next day. Because I know, as the scripture tells us in the Gospel of John, that my life is in the palm of his hands. And that's where I find comfort. That's where I find serenity of conscience. That's where I find peace of soul. Yeah, I'm involved in all the culture wars. I'm involved in everything that's happening in society because I live on planet Earth. But just to know that we are secure in the hands of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that makes me sleep very comfortably every single night as I lay my head on that pillow.
And you know, Jesse, what you just said biblically is something why we Catholics should be reading our Bible every single day, because that's where we get hope. We don't get hope reading the New York Times or any secular paper or watching the news. We don't get hope there. But where do we get hope? Well, the Word of God, the sacraments, and praying our rosary.
Hope, and we don't get hope smoking dope like the,
no,
like, you know,
of course
the
not.
Liberals believe you get hope there. No hope smoking dope.
No, that's pretty cute. All right, let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now. Bull Sheena had just yesterday when I found this quote from Sheen, it just really hit me hard to think about what's going on in the world right now with all the violence. And here Bishop Sheen back in the 60s had a statement saying this. He said, "Everyone who is conscious of sin knows that his sin deserves punishment." That's true. "But if sin or guilt is denied, the need for punishment finds its outlet vicariously in a love of violence visited upon others." I'm just going to make a judgment call. What I see in the world right now is just that we deny that there is sin. Everybody thinks they're immaculately conceived, and there's no death judgment. It's just me, myself, and I. And so what do we do? What's happening when we've left our churches and we left the gospel? People become violent. And, you know, Bishop Sheen also said in another section about nudity, okay, that's also a sign of the loss of sin in your life. And so what do we have going on the last, 50 years, Jesse? It's just that we deny that we're sinners, and what's happened? Immorality's gone crazy, and now the violence. Think about it. We've been killing our unborn babies for over 43 years, and then what do you think the fruit of that is? Look outside your window right now into the world. Violence, violence, and violence, when the answer is Jesus Christ.
That's right. He's always been the answer since the incarnation, and he'll always be the answer. And what we're seeing right now, Terry, with the violence from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, these communist Marxist organizations,
yep,
we're looking at young people that don't know, K-N-O-W,
right, no,
don't know the Lord Jesus,
exactly,
Christ. They may have heard of him. They may have thought about him in a fleeting moment, but they don't know him experientially and in their heart, because he doesn't govern their lives. What governs their lives is politics and anarchy and Marxism and communism, but it's not the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding that guides our heart. And that's exactly what should guide every single human heart. Terry, just want to mention something about Pope Gregory the Great.
Sure, let's hear about it, because he's a great man.
Oh yeah, one of the great popes in the last 2,000 years. Pope Gregory the Great, pray for us. He was a son of a noble and a devout Catholic family. Gregory left civic life at the age of 30, he felt the call, and he went into the seminary or the monastery back then. In 590, he was elected as Pope.
By the people.
Yep.
Did you hear that, Jesse? By cardinals. There were no cardinals at
there
that
time. There was no conclave back then.
You got it.
People election.
Yep.
I wonder who would be elected Pope today.
Oh, I was just going to say something on that.
Interesting.
But you go ahead, Jesse.
So there was a plague that ravaged Rome.
Yep.
And there was also a war that threatened Rome at the time of Gregory the Great. But again, he was just a patriarch. He was a holy man.
Yeah.
And so Pope Gregory expanded the reach of the papacy for the protection of the poor and the preservation of the peace in the city of Rome. He wrote over 800 letters answering questions from both lay people and clerical leaders. That's interesting, Terry.
Yeah.
He answered dubia questions.
Right. Yeah, I wish we could do some of that now.
Yeah. And so in his classic Pastoral Care, he urged the priests to apply themselves to the care of souls. He wrote this to his priests, quote, "What rashness it is, then, for the unskillful to assume pastoral authority, since the government of souls is the art of arts," close quote. He's known as one of the four great Latin fathers. He died in 604 AD. He was also the one that gave us Gregorian chant. And so we pray, Saint Pope Gregory the Great, pray for us.
And you know what else he did, Jesse, that's really interesting? Saint Augustine and 29 other monks he sent to England to convert England to Christianity. So this man had a zeal. Also, I know I'm getting a little over the top on Gregory, but he's one of my favorites, Jess. He also, when as a layman, he had this big house on the hill, like someone you know. And what he did is he gave the house to the monastery, and they turned it into a monastery for priests. And that's when he joined the monastery. So he had been very financially well off. He was also helping lots of people. In a sense, he was a king, but he wasn't the title because he was taking care of people. He defended the people from different groups trying to conquer his area there. So he really handled not just the religious but civil things. And so in one sense, he was a benevolent leader of a lot of people, and people just loved him because he was so helpful in helping them, not only spiritually but physically. And I think that what he did is he gave a great example of what the actions of helping people, you know, learn how to fend for themselves, but also how to get them to heaven. It's a good combination. I wish we kind of would bring that back into the church right now, rather than just focusing on, what I would call just the present time on planet Earth. Our goal is to get to heaven. Hey, when we get back, Jesse, I got a clip that you're going to be blown away by. I sent it to you earlier this morning, but I want our folks to hear about the Wuhan virus and what's going on with that, and how this is going to take a little bit, but it's going to show us how we've been duped big time when you think about the millions of people that were going to die from this virus and all the money. Follow the money. When we talk about this today, you're going to see that there's a big money trail that makes the Wuhan virus valuable to certain people on this in America. And some of them are doctors, and some of them are very rich people that are going to get even wealthier. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be a billionaire. We're here to help you find the meaning and purpose of life. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're talking about The biggest hoax in our lifetime. You know, Jesse and I smelled a rat when we first got into this Wuhan virus. We did, Jesse. We were like, wait a minute, where's the science? People are making all kinds of conjectures. How do they know? They're just making up things. Come on, stop this. Well, 6 months later, the truth was coming out. I'd like to ask you to listen to this small clip, and then let's get into this article from the Catholic Monitor. Play that clip.
Absolutely. According to a bombshell new report, up to 90% of positive COVID-19 tests in multiple states in our country should have been negative. This report came from the New York Times. That's right, the New York Times. According to the Times, and I quote, standard tests are diagnosing huge numbers of people who may be carrying relatively insignificant amounts of the virus and are not likely to be contagious, end quote. Let me repeat that. The vast majority of positive COVID-19 PCR tests in our country are clinically insignificant because the people who popped positive are not likely to be contagious. A PCR test, which is the most common type of COVID-19 test, the kind you're familiar with, identifies the virus's genetic material in a swab sample and then amplifies it over and over again until a machine can detect the DNA of the virus. If the machine detects the virus's DNA, then the test pops positive. But the number of times the genetic material on the swab sample is amplified is hugely important because it correlates to viral load. Amplify the genetic material of the swab sample enough times, you will detect the virus DNA even if the viral load in the person's body is clinically insignificant, meaning even if that person only has traces of the virus in their body, even if they're not symptomatic themselves, even if they're very unlikely to be contagious and transmit the virus to other people. So the New York Times examined COVID-19 testing data from New York, Massachusetts, and Nevada, and found, and I quote, up to 90% of people testing positive carried barely any virus, end quote. This is because the PCR tests for COVID-19 in the United States are using anywhere between 35 and 40 amplification cycles to identify the genetic material of the virus. And many experts agree that anything higher than 30 amplification cycles will result in inactive, dead, or clinically insignificant amounts of the virus being detected, therefore causing the test to show up as positive. So why is this important? Because public health policy, the lockdowns, the quarantines, the travel restrictions, businesses closed, gyms shut down, families prohibited from holding funerals, people not allowed to go to church, that is based on the number of COVID-19 cases in our country. Not the COVID-19 death count, not the infection fatality rate, not the hospitalization rate, not the number of ventilators in use, not the ICU bed capacity, no, no. The COVID-19 public policy in our country is based on COVID case numbers, which means positive COVID-19 tests. And according to the New York Times report, up to 90% of positive COVID-19 tests should be negative.
Wow. Well said, young lady. You know, Jesse, that just shows me
she
again.
Should be on the main, she should be on a mainstream commentary.
Yes. Well,
you have to get that type of information on the internet because that just won't be allowed on the mainstream media.
Yeah, because they'll consider that fake news when, in fact, what they're doing is fake news. Jesse, this COVID case number, this is what they're scaring everybody with. And let's get into this article from the Catholic Monitor because there's a lot of meat here. This is all about bringing out fear to the people in America so that they'll do anything because they're scared to death.
Absolutely. So the actual rates looks much more like a typical season flu. This is what Milo Yiannopoulos writes. Yeah. He says the media was lying and the economy was almost shut down because of false statements.
Yep.
Anthony Fauci, Dr. Anthony, he gave fabricated and highly exaggerated mortality rates related to the coronavirus to persuade President Trump to lock down the entire U.S. economy.
Yep.
Now, this week, the CDC quietly updated the COVID number to admit that only 6%, like that young lady just said, 6% of all the 150,504 deaths recorded actually died from COVID-19. So that's the number's actually 9,210 deaths.
That's right.
Okay, so let's just stop for a minute here. Okay?
Good. Let's do that.
So, based on the recommendation of two doctors that are connected with Bill Gates.
Money.
Yep. So based on the recommendations of these two Bill Gates influenced doctors, the United States shut down the entire U.S. economy based on 9,000 Americans dying entirely by the coronavirus.
Give me a break.
Are you kidding me? The World Health Organization's leaders, coronavirus death rate number of 3.4%. That's what they initially projected, the World Health Organization.
Yep.
It was false. It was false. They're saying, yeah, 3.4% of the population are going to die from this COVID-19. It was false.
It was a lie. Let's just use what it said. Jesse, false. That's too nice of a word. Yeah. It was a lie.
A lie, yeah. So reports have been made that the current death rate of COVID-19, which it should be called the communist Wuhan China virus, it was false, it was inaccurate, it was a lie, as the actual rates look much more like a typical seasonal flu. And so the media was lying, and the economy was almost shut down and destroyed because of lies. So who are behind these lies?
That's a good question.
Well, we know the face of these lies is Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx.
Yep.
They're the ones that gave this fabricated and highly exaggerated mortality rates based on this Wuhan communist Chinese virus.
2.2 million, they said, Jesse. We're going to we're going to be dead from this virus. Are you kidding me? Put more fear into your hearts. Not even close. Go ahead.
So Dr. Tony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx, we want to get their first and last name so you know who they are. You know who these liars are.
Yep.
They use the Imperial College model to persuade President Trump, because he's not a doctor. He has to go by the people, you know, he has to go by people that got these PhDs. So they used a false model called the Imperial College model to persuade President Trump to lock down the entire U.S. economy. the economy that he made the greatest economy in 60 years, by the way.
Right. That's right.
So this forged model, called the Imperial College model, predicted 2.2 million American deaths from the communist China Wuhan virus pandemic.
Yep.
And the authors of the Imperial College model, they shared their findings with the White House coronavirus task force in early March. And guess what? Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx met afterwards with President Trump privately and tried to convince him to shut down the U.S. economy.
Yep.
Why? To exterminate the record the Trump economy had basically fashioned up until this point, and they wanted him to shut it down based on this model. But the fact is that Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx were trying to push things around using a lie and an exaggerated model almost made the U.S. economy shut down completely, Terry, and almost destroyed this country.
Yeah, see, what we should ask ourselves, what might have been Fauci's motives for promoting this hysteria for the COVID-19? And let's face it, we now know Fauci has a multi-million to billion-dollar big money Bill Gates conflict of interest. What? Remember I said follow the money? Yes, on April 4th, your news, which according to Wikipedia is a weekly BBC news television program, in the article, Anthony Fauci and Birx both have a big money Bill Gates conflict of interest reported. Gates has lots of pull in the medical world. He has a multi-million dollar relationship with Dr. Anthony Fauci. Just continue. Do I need to say more?
I've always told my wife, who was a retired nurse, I've always said that
in
the last couple of decades, the medical field has been politicized by the left.
Yep.
It has.
Well said.
And so the article continues.
Yes.
It says, the coronavirus response team member, Dr. Deborah Birx, here it is. Here's the connection.
Yep.
Here's what nepotism.
You know? You got that right.
Yeah. Dr. Deborah Birx sits on the board of a group that has received billions from the Gates Foundation. And Birx reportedly, Dr. Birx reportedly used a disputed Bill Gates-funded model for the White House coronavirus effort.
There's your connection.
So if Bill Gates is the one that funded this model that they were using, this Imperial College model,
yep.
This was a model funded by Bill Gates for this coronavirus task force. And Bill Gates is a big proponent for a population lockdown scenario for the coronavirus outbreak.
Yep.
And we also know that Bill Gates is funding coronavirus vaccine candidates that would compete with hydroxychloroquine. He doesn't like that because there's no money to be
That's
made
right.
for him with hydroxychloroquine. And so, but he stands to make billions of dollars if he comes up with this vaccine, which he will have doctors validate, Doctors Fauci and Birx. All they got to say, oh yeah, this vaccine that Bill Gates has come up with, yep, this is the silver bullet. This is the answer. So he's already got his go-to doctors that are going to validate whatever junk science he comes up with. And the fact is, the article tells us that Dr. Fauci is tight with Bill Gates.
That's a fact.
Dr. Fauci is he's a big promoter of this universal vaccine. And again, you can see him on the internet. He's, you know, hanging out with Bill Gates in different scenarios, but specifically back in 2018, he was hanging out with Bill Gates at the NIH workshop.
That's right.
And Bill Gates has admitted that he stopped President Trump's planned vaccine safety commission with Robert Kennedy Jr. in the early days of the Trump administration.
Wow.
So Bill Gates is using his influence and his money to try to stop President Trump, again, from implementing some of the things that he wants to implement. And we also know that back in 2016, in The Atlantic, yeah. there was a Reuters photo of the present constant scene of Dr. Fauci and Dr. Ann Shushat standing behind the official White House podium, making predictions with a virus map behind them. Again, think about this, Terry.
I know.
You got Bill Gates, who's a eugenicist. He's a globalist. He's pro-abortion. You got him. He has the doctors, Fauci, Birx, this other doctor just mentioned here, Shushat.
Yeah.
He got them, Terry,
yeah.
in his pocket,
oh, yeah.
as they say.
Yeah, that's
He's got them bought and paid for,
yeah.
and they're the ones that are pushing their exaggerated and lies and fake science on President Trump, who basically, if he doesn't concede to doctors, the media's going to go after him. They're going to say, who are you to question doctors from the NIH, from the CDC, from the WHO? These are medical doctors that have worked for three administrations. Who are you, Donald Trump, to question them?
We're connecting the dots on the biggest hoax of our lifetime. The coronavirus is a hoax, and we're going to tell you why. And we'll connect more dots when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tier and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Join VMPR live on YouTube September 12th, 2020, for our latest free conference, The Ultimate Challenge. This exclusive virtual event will feature a brand new talk from Jesse Romero, How Apologetics Brought Me Back to Faith, plus never-before-broadcast video presentations from Dr. Scott Hahn, Father Mitch Pacwa, and the late, great Father Benedict Groeschel. Go to vmpr.org to register now and get ready to face the ultimate challenge.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show, we're talking about the way Bill Gates...
Manipulation.
Has basically bought some of the highest, most influential doctors in America from the NIH, the CDC, from the WHO, and they're basically, Terry, it's medical phonies that are running this country right now.
We're tired of it, Jess.
And President Trump is basically between a rock and a hard place because, again, you know what the media is going to do if he questions a PhD?
Oh,
they're
going to
say, you're not a doctor. Who the heck are you to question Dr. Fauci, Dr. Burke, et cetera, et cetera? But why are they creating this fear? Let me tell you something.
Yeah, what's their motivation, the big picture, Jess?
Well, I'll tell you this. Fear is a clear sign of evil at work, evil one as well.
Yep.
Because the number of people that are dying of suicide and other things and depression is a lot worse than this pandemic, this Wuhan communist Chinese virus. And the fact is, Terry, I'll tell you what's worse than all of this is people who are, this is the big picture, people who are dying without the sacraments, without confession. This is plain evil at work, taking souls to hell, bringing fear. This is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to create what's called a dystopian society. A society basically based on confusion, based on malcontents, based on anarchy, based on communist Marxist principles. That's called a dystopian society. And this is exactly what they want to do. You got to control the population by fear mongering, by panic. And this is the way you can control, Perry. You can control the media, control the spread propaganda. You disarm the population. This is exactly, Terry.
It's textbook.
What they're doing right now is textbook what the brown shirts did
you
for Hitler back in World War II to get him into power.
And Hitler was liberal at the time, remember? People don't realize that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting is the same tactics that Hitler used to get himself to power using the brown shirts, the Democrats are using right now Antifa and Black Lives Matter to promote so much fear in the hearts of people that they're going to say, we want change. We want somebody to stop, to control the I'm going to tell you, Terry, these people from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they're not, Joe Biden doesn't control them.
Nope.
Okay? And I'll tell you who does control them is the socialist wing of the Democrat Party, AOC and Bernie Sanders.
That's true.
They control them.
Yep.
And they're going to have a big say at the table of a Biden presidency. If they don't listen to Bernie Sanders and AOC, they're going to just simply make that phone call to send their paramilitary troops, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, into the street and intimidate people. They're even sending them in front of Democrat politicians to intimidate them as well.
Hey, Jesse, just a quick note. I know it's not off the topic, but I saw on the internet that the RICO laws might be being applied to these terrorist groups. In other words, they're going to be illegal to come together and do these things. I like that. Did you notice that, Jess, or did you see that on the internet?
I think that'll happen if Trump wins. I think he's going to have to implement organized crime terrorist legislation.
I think so, too.
And he's going to have to go after them. If he has to use the military, then he's going to have to use the military. Because,
whatever it takes.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, law enforcement, the reason they can't do anything.
Why is that?
Because half of the cities and states are run by Dems, and they're anti-police. They're the ones that don't allow the police to arrest them. They order the police to stand down. Order them.
Terrible.
I know that because I'm getting texts from cops around the country in blue cities. They're saying, Jess, if we do anything proactive, we're fired.
Wow.
He goes on. And they're saying, I'm a 26-year-old cop, 3 kids at home. My wife doesn't work. If I put my hands on one of these anarchists and take him to jail, I'm fired. And so that's how they're controlling them, Terry.
Horrible.
And that's why it's going to take the military that's under the president to go and clean out the streets and make mass arrests, because the blue city law enforcement officers that are under bad management, they can't do nothing.
Jesse, is that why the Portland mayor is upset that Trump would bring in a federal people to come in, the National Guard, because they don't want to release the control of what they're doing? Is that a fair statement? Why do they want to keep Trump's out? Why do they want to keep President Trump's approach away?
I'll tell you why, Terry. Because most people, like just normal American people, they don't like chaos. They don't like riots. They don't like anarchy. And they don't like living, you know, in fear.
Right.
About what's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is exactly the way you topple a government.
Mm-hmm.
If you instill so much fear in the rank and file, people, when it comes to the ballot box, are going to say, we need change. We need change. Help. Look at what's been ushered in under this president.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't usher this in. His enemies ginned all this up under his presidency to try to take him out, to try to make him look bad. In fact, he's the solution against all of this. And if he wins, Terry, trust me, just what he did, like what he did to ISIS, Terry, he virtually wiped them out. You know, ISIS was flying their black flag over a lot of parts in the Middle East. They were raising the black flag. Guess what, Terry? You don't hear about them any longer. He cut the head off the snake with that other guy when he killed, what's his name, Suleiman.
Yeah, Suleiman.
This is what he will do here if he becomes a president. All he's doing is waiting for that opportunity.
Let me ask you this, Jesse. Before March, say, 19th, tell me what was going on in America. How was the economy? How were people working before this virus came? I want to set a stage for a point I'm trying to make. Tell us.
Lowest unemployment rate amongst blacks, lowest unemployment rate amongst Hispanics, lowest unemployment rate amongst females, low unemployment rate amongst anybody. Mm-hmm. And Terry, guess what happens when people are working?
They're happy.
People are happy and people are not committing crime because
They're content.
I just read another article, Terry, that the average Black Lives Matter and Antifa anarchist, the average, they live at home, A, B, they're unemployed.
Makes sense.
I'm going to repeat that again. The average anarchist in Black Lives Matter and Antifa is A, living at home, B, unemployed. Again, I mean, this is mainstream Catholicism thought here. Work brings dignity.
Amen.
People find their dignity and they find self-respect when they're working and they're able to provide for themselves and their families. It makes you feel good, like, man, I got a paycheck, I'm able to pay the bills, keep my roof over my wife and my kids.
Absolutely.
It's something incredible. But when you're not working, Terry, it's easy to fall into anger, into depression. In other words, when you're not working, you're not guided by intellect and reason. You're guided by your emotions, your disordered appetites and passions. And that's exactly what we see going on here. President Trump, Terry, we saw the lowest crime rate under his presidency.
That's right.
Why? Because more people were working. When more people are working, guess what? People don't want to go commit crime because they got money in their pocket. And they want to invest their downtime in more productive things like going to the gym and working out and going to church. But this is a man-caused problem.
It is.
Terry, you
it
got
is.
Any
No, questions? I'm just, listen, I wanted to ask you that question because that's my sentiments completely, Jesse, that this has been set up. And this was the only way People think who don't want President Trump to stay as a second term, how do they get rid of him? By corrupting, by making people scared, by bringing in a virus that really wasn't as dangerous as they said. And then think about this. Earlier, if you missed it, the first segment, a second segment of the show, when we had that woman give the news report about the amplification of when they do these tests for COVID-19, that when they don't get a positive result, they just keep trying and they're manipulating it. And so all I'm saying is I'm tired of being manipulated. How about you? Isn't it time that we stand up and say, what? This isn't true. And that's one of the things I want to encourage people to go to LifeSite News and sign the petition with the mandatory mask, saying, you know what? We don't need masks. This is not providing any benefit. We're having so much what we call collateral damage from this COVID-19 hoax, and people aren't, going to the hospital when they have heart attacks. Look at the statistics. People are dying every month because they're not going to go see their doctor because of fear. Fear has caused more deaths. Suicide is up. We've got problems with kids not in school, so guess what they do? They get into trouble. This whole thing has been a big mess, and it's time to say the emperor has no clothes on. That's what I think, Jess.
Terry, and let's just be honest here. The fact is, now we know the truth about this.
Yes.
About this Wuhan Chinese virus debacle.
Yep.
Okay, we know the truth.
Yep.
That only 6% of the people,
yeah,
the numbers were so ginned up, Terry.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, only 1 in 20 people that had the Wuhan Chinese virus actually died strictly from the virus itself out of 20 people that had it.
Yep.
So the other 19 that died from some other diseases that they already had, like cancer,
that's
like
right,
leukemia, some respiratory diseases. And so the fact of the matter is the numbers of people that have passed away, Terry, is a very small number. And more people are being affected by being forced to stay home, by being forced to wear a mask.
That's
you
right.
know what I call the mask, Terry? I call it the Sharia law mask, because that's exactly in Sharia law countries. You know what they do?
Yep.
They make the women wear masks. And in fact, they make them wear a full mask and the full burqa.
Yep.
And so, and this is what we have here, Terry. These are Sharia law masks. And this is basically telling you, you know what this is a way of saying? The government's telling you, shut up. We don't want to hear from you.
It's a very good way. You know what, Jesse? Six months ago, if you walked into the bank with a mask on,
you'd get arrested.
Thank you. See what things have changed? Hey, Jess, when we come back, I want to switch gears to something spiritual, and that is the Angelus. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. What is the Angelus? Great information, and I know that after we're done, you're going to be praying the Angelus 3 times a day. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense, and that's what we're applying today. Common sense, and it ain't that common. We'll be back with more to talk about what is the Angelus in the Catholic tradition.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So what is the Angelus? It's designed to commemorate the mystery of God becoming man. We call that the Incarnation. And also to pay homage to Mary's role in salvation history. It's been long part of Catholic life. And around the world, it's prayed generally three times every day, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. The faithful, they stop whatever they're doing, and with the words of the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, that's what begins this simple prayer. But why do we say the Angelus at all, and especially three times a day? Well, a review of church history shows that this devotion, it didn't appear suddenly, but it developed over centuries, just like many other Catholic devotions.
Right.
And so most church historians agree that the Angelus can be traced back to the 11th century Italy, where monks said three Hail Marys during night prayers at the last bell of the day, when they were basically summoned by a bell. And so over time, the pastors encouraged their Catholic flocks to end each day in a similar fashion by saying three Hail Marys. So in the villages, as in the monasteries, a bell was rung at the close of the day, reminding the laity of this special prayer time. And the evening devotional practice soon spread to other parts of Christendom, including England. Towards the end of the 11th century, the Normans invaded and occupied England. In order to ensure control of the population, the Normans rang a curfew bell at the end of each day, reminding the locals to extinguish all fires and get off the streets and retire to their homes. While not intended to encourage prayer, this bell became associated, nevertheless, with evening prayer, which included saying the Hail Mary. And once the curfew requirement ended, a bell continued to be rung at the close of each day, and the term curfew bell was widely popular, although in some areas it was known as the Ave or the Gabriel bell.
Isn't it interesting, Jesse? And then around 1323, the Bishop of Winchester, England, the future Archbishop of Canterbury, Bishop John D. Statford, encouraged those of his diocese to pray the Hail Mary in the evening, writing, "We exhort you every day, when you hear three short interrupted peals of the bell at the beginning of the curfew or in places where you do not hear it at vesper times or at nightfall, you say with all possible devotion, kneeling wherever you may be, the angelic salutation three times at each peal, so as to say it nine times in all." Mm. Now, this came beautiful. I know this Catholic Truth Society, I love their booklets. This was back in 1895. Just tell us what happened in Italy, because it's fascinating.
Around 1318 in Italy, Catholics began saying the Hail Mary upon rising in the morning. Likely, this habit came from the monks, who included the Hail Mary in the prayers they said before their workday began. The morning devotion spread, and evidence is found in England that in 1399, Archbishop Thomas Arundel ordered church bells to be rung at sunrise throughout the country.
I love it.
And he asked the laity to recite 5 Our Fathers and 7 Hail Marys every morning. Then the noontime Angelus devotion, that seemed to derive from the long-standing practice of praying and meditating on our Lord's Passion at midday each Friday. So in 1456, Pope Calixtus III directed the ringing of the church bells every day at noon, and Catholics prayed 3 Hail Marys. The Pope solicited the faithful to use noonday prayers to pray for the peace for priests in the face of the 15th century invasion of Europe by the Muslim Turks.
Yep.
And so the bell rung at noontime. It became known as the peace bell or the Turkish bell. In other words, reference to the Muslim attackers. Pope Sixtus IV was petitioned by Queen Elizabeth of England, wife of King Henry VII, to grant indulgences to those who said at least 1 Hail Mary at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. And there is evidence that a bell was rung at those times. So what about the Angelus today?
Yes.
By the end of the 16th century, the Angelus had become the prayer that we know today, the 3 Hail Marys with short verses in between, ending with prayer. And it was first published in a modern form in a catechism around 1560 in Venice. This devotion, again, reminds us of the angel Gabriel's Annunciation to Mary, Mary's fiat, the Incarnation, and our Lord's Passion and Resurrection. It's repeated as a holy invitation, calling us to prayer. And for centuries, the Angelus was always said while kneeling, but Pope Benedict XIV directed that the Angelus should be recited while standing on Saturday evening and all day on Sunday. He also directed that the Regina Caeli, it's called Queen of Heaven prayer, be said instead of the Angelus during the Easter season. And over the years, many of the faithful have focused the morning Angelus on the resurrection, the noon Angelus on the Passion, and the evening Angelus on the Incarnation. How beautiful
isn't
is that?
Tremendous.
Yep. And it's said that over the centuries, workers of the fields have halted their labors and prayed when they heard the Angelus bell. The pious practice is depicted by Jean-François Millet, his famous 1857 painting that shows 2 workers in a potato field to say the Angelus.
Awesome.
And there's also many other stories that animals would automatically stop plowing and stand quietly at the ringing of the church bell. And like a heavenly messenger, the Angelus calls man to interrupt our day, our earthly routines, and turn to thoughts of God, of the Blessed Mother, and of eternity. And as Pope Benedict XVI taught a couple of years ago on the Feast of the Annunciation, he said, quote, "The angel's proclamation was addressed to her. She accepted it, and when she responded from the depths of her heart, at that moment the eternal word began to exist as a human being in time, from generation to generation. The wonder evoked by this ineffable mystery never ceases."
Wow.
Blessed Mother, pray for us.
Amen. Debbie, we've got you on the line. Just give me another minute. We're going to let you have your say. But a significant part of this traditional devotion is not only the ringing of the bell to announce the time of prayer, but the manner in which the bell is rung. The ringing consists of 3 strokes of the bell, each followed by a pause and then 9 strokes. And this is John Sullivan in his book, 1917 book, Eternals of the Catholic Church, writes, "The manner of ringing the Angelus seems to have varied little since the beginning of the devotion. Old monastic recordings going back to the 15th century show that the bell ringer was directed to the toll Ave bell 9 strokes at 3 times, keeping the pace of 1 in the Our Father and the Hail Mary between each of the 3 tolls." Now, Jess, that is something I learned a lot on the Angelus. I didn't know all of that until I read that article, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it. Debbie, you've been very patient in Texas. Oh, she's gone. She was trying to be patient. Yeah. Jess,
let me mention something else about this theologically.
Sure.
The ringing of the church bells.
And the devil hates it.
Exactly. It reminds demons that are present everywhere. It reminds demons of the consecration. That's why they hate the ringing of bells.
Makes sense.
Reminds them of the ringing of bells during the consecration. And the angelic realm, they're also being reminded of the incarnation of God, the good guys.
Yeah.
And so this is why church bells are blessed and consecrated for holy purposes. And the Bible also tells us in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 and 11,
mm-hmm.
that we should be praying morning, midday, and evening. So the Angelus tradition follows the Jewish tradition of three times praying a day. And the last thing that I would say is this, is that exorcists around the world, what they do when a person is possessed, one of the things that they do to them is they put them on a 30 to 60 day prayer protocol. They say you have to do the Angelus at 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. And they say you've got to put your alarm clock, wake up at 6, get out of bed, and do the 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. That's a prayer protocol that helps drive demons out. Terry, the last thing I want to mention is this. If people like what they're hearing, then go ahead and like this show.
Absolutely.
And there's a bell there. You can just click on the bell so you can be reminded when we come on. And also share the show with other people. You probably say, man, there's other people that I know that they could stand to listen to the contents of this show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So go ahead and put this show out on your social media. Share this show with others. And the last thing that I will say is that last night I was on with Father Frank Pavone.
Oh, yeah.
If you type in on YouTube, it's got 156,000 views.
So wow.
It had 100,000 views as we were doing it.
Wow.
So just type in Father Frank Pavone and Jesse Romero. We talked about the elections this November.
Excellent.
And this thing is just, and I also let the people know, because a lot of people probably don't know who I was. I said they can listen to me twice
awesome.
At virginmostpowerful.org. So there's 156,000, 6,000 listeners so far and climbing.
Jesse, one more thing about the bell. Our supporters here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, about a year ago, we decided we would put a bell tower up at our Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina, which we did. The bell's over 150 years old, and we stuck that up on the bell tower, and we've been ringing it before Mass and at celebrations, and when funerals come, which we have lots of funerals, we ring the bell in honor of the deceased. And I just want to thank our listeners who supported us in putting a bell tower up, because I'll tell you what, over the last 50 years, there's a lot of church bells that haven't been rung, and that's unfortunate. So what did we do? We built a bell tower with your donations, and I just want to thank our listeners. And if you want to help us now with the church, we're painting the church this month. And yeah, it's going to get painted on the outside. It's going to look pretty. And if you'd like to help us with that, just go ahead and call 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jess, one last thing about your activities, and I just think this is great. We just had a show on Mormonism right before our Terry and Jesse show explaining mm-hmm. the errors of Mormonism. But you know what I have to give the Mormons credit on, Jess? They work with the family. They try to keep the family together. And they actually contacted you. What were the purpose of having them contact you, Jess?
I've already spoken at two Mormon churches about how to vote pro-life and how to vote social conservative.
Good.
And I'm scheduled to speak at about five other Mormon churches before the election.
Awesome.
So, they've embraced the message.
You're such an ecumenical man.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to just play that game. Because on the issue of re-electing
we
the
got
most
a,
pro-life president,
we got a
we're on
partnership.
The same page.
We got a partnership with everyone who's pro-life. Hey, Jess, the show went quick. Folks, get this show into people's hands because this needs to get out. And I thank you for doing the YouTube. Every week, about 500 to 1,000 new listeners.
Oh, you're going to get a good bump this month.
I can't wait. Every week. Hey, Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
Not in the state of depression, not in the state of hopelessness, not in the state of confusion or mortal sin, the state of grace.
Amen.
Get holy or die trying. What else is there? Become a saint.
There's
nothing else to do with your life. Terry.
Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Also, I just want to say thank you again for all your support. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.